Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Twin Peaks off I-10 in Kirkwood. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Yes, indeed. It is In the Loop here. Sports Radio 610 broadcasting live from Twin Peaks on I-10. Kirkwood, come say what's up to us. Come get some good food. Eat, drink, scenic views is what they call it, what they say.
Eat, scenics, eat.
We know, well, we know what John's favorite part
scenic
is.
Scenic views.
Yeah, we know what John's favorite part is for certain.
You do?
Yeah, what's that last part you said?
Yeah, scenic views. In fact,
yeah, that part.
If you would like to view us, we are on
They're not looking
always
at us.
Streaming.
They're not looking at us.
Twitch.tv/610
Who's that behind you right now, Reggie?
They are not looking at us.
YouTube is... Sports Radio 610.
It's popping. You know what's popping? YouTube right now.
That's a whole nother thing.
Because they can see
indeed.
People walking behind us.
That is correct.
We are right in front of the monitors where they place their orders.
Giving fantastic service. And absolutely.
Get your asses to YouTube right now.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Just watch.
That is definitely what you're trying to look for. Yeah. Anyways, we talked yesterday about the defense with this Texans team and what would make or break it being elite. Because, that's the aspiration, obviously.
Yeah.
When you have a team that feels like it has an opportunity to be really good, it feels like it has an opportunity to maybe be a Super Bowl contender,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to see, okay, can they be elite? And then what are the barriers or the obstacles that will get them there? Well, we talked about the defense. Let's talk about the offense, which honestly, it feels like the side of the ball that the outsiders, but even folks that are, you know, are Texans fans or Texans onlookers or whatever you'd like to say,
mm-hmm.
are probably the most excited about is offensively. But what are the things that will make or break the offense being elite this season?
You know, I was thinking about this, and you know, I've used the term Occam's razor before. You know, sometimes the most obvious answer is the right answer.
Correct.
That is not the case in my view right now.
Okay.
Because the most obvious answer is, oh, running game, man. You don't have a running game, you're in trouble.
Sure.
I don't agree with that. I think if you're just okay, they were okay running the ball last year.
15th, I think.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
Like, I would love to have Joe Mixon go for 1,200 combined yards and Cam Akers, you know, show what he's shown here and be a solid number two with 600 yards or whatever it is. And even whether it's Damon Pierce or Jordan Jawar or Dare, you know, come in and spell him. I don't feel the most obvious answer is the answer when it comes to make or break on the offensive side. Because
okay.
we saw it last year. Last year, they were they were okay. And they were a passing team. They ultimately turned into a passing team.
Correct.
And took the world by storm, took the NFL world by storm. I think the most obvious, the make or break on this offense is right up front, man. I mean, that's maybe a little obvious too, but if Kenyon Green is the deal, if he is just above average, and Juice Scruggs, I think, is. I'm a big fan of Juice Scruggs. I think he's going to have a big year. Shaq Mason is an automatic. Like, he is just going to be good. If Titus Howard stays healthy, and even if he doesn't, Blake Fisher is ready to step in. And Laremy Tunsil, we know what we're going to get out of him. You have an upper end. I'm not going to say elite because that's asking a lot. But you have a high-end offensive line, we're on to something.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're on to something.
As I was trying to double-check, as take a half step back, looking at EPA, kind of some of the advanced statistics.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drown you in them, but I like looking at EPA, expected mm-hmm. points average, added rather, and then success rate, right? How many plays, how many of your plays ended up being successful further down? And in both those categories, Texas were actually bottom third last year running the football.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, even lower, like 26th and 27th respectively. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I guess in theory, you don't need to be great at that in order to be the good team that you were. But now we're talking about a level of elite.
That's true.
And I think that if you want to be that, it definitely is the run game. But I think that we still end up in the same place because D'Amico Ryans, and maybe this is some level of defense, or if you even want to be super critical, maybe like hiding of Dameon Pierce. But he keeps pointing to the idea that, hey, man, your starting line was not blocking up the way that you needed to, blocking up the run game. You had unblocked folks in the gaps or in the hole that you wanted to run into. That's going to be an issue. Like, your offensive line needs to be on their P's and Q's. And this was an offensive line, mind you, though, that was better at pass blocking last season. Like, they were
and helped by CJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the offensive line is going to be one of the big things. And maybe you go, hey, Reggie, of course, that's obvious, right? Like, that everything starts in the trenches in this game. But, like you mentioned, there you have guys in the interior of this offense that you – I don't want to say you have questions about, and maybe you can say that flat out, but at least you have concerns about in some ways that you're like,
questions for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, questions for sure. Because I don't think anybody's really convinced yet about Kenyon Green.
No.
You know, I mean, I think you're getting convinced. You know, it's nice to hear what D'Amico's saying about him every week so far. But is anybody really convinced on Juice Scruggs in there? I am. I've been watching him during practice and these games. And I'm not breaking down film. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not an all-11 guy. But
All
22, whatever you want to call it. That's how much I know. But no, I like what I'm seeing out of him. So if that happens, and then, and oh, by the way, the running game will be all right again. Like, just by default, if you have a really good offensive line. It won't, maybe doesn't have to be great, but it'll be all right, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Like, okay, so we both ended up with the offensive line. I think running back itself, if this thing, I think the 53-man roster and how you kind of square that away will pretty much settle that. Because I think the big thing with running back that ends up catching our focus is Dameon Pierce, because it feels like he's not maximizing the runs that he has available to him. But it's also because it's in juxtaposition with, we believe that we know what Joe Mixon is as a running back flat out, right? No. And then you've seen Cam Akers kind of do some nice things in that regard. You've seen Dare, you've seen JJ, you've seen Juwan. Like, you could start naming all the other running backs that you saw at least make the most of the blocking that they had, whether good, bad, indifferent, or what have you.
Yeah.
Is there any other place outside of offensive line that you point to and you go, that's a distinction or a factor?
Yes. Okay. There is. I think we have a good kind of base level of an expectation at tight end.
Yeah.
But, you know, this last game kind of really opened my eyes. I was thinking, I don't know, man. Dalton Schultz is going to probably be a little less productive because of all the receivers. You know, Cade Stover, okay, but a rookie. I don't think we can believe in Brevin Jordan just yet because he's been so up and down. But then I saw Dalton Schultz be really showing, exposing the middle of the defense, in Saturday's game.
Just the soft parts of zone.
Getting the ball, you know, consistently from C.J. Stroud. Then I saw Cade Stover running fullback and motion out of the backfield and all this. I'm like, man, I mean, this is the old Patriots thing. If you get two tight ends, you know, if you get two tight ends with a quarterback that's that smart, like C.J. Stroud, man, it could be – we could be having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We could be having a lot of fun.
And I feel funny because when we did this conversation yesterday, when we talked about the make or break aspect of it, we talked about the make, right? We talked about all the things that were good that were going to help this defense potentially be elite. Mm-hmm. We started the offense today, and we started about the breaks, right?
Yeah.
But,
like,
the makes are all there, right?
Yeah.
And tight end is an interesting one as well because – and I wish, Figgy, I wish I had hit you up with this earlier. Dalton Schultz, in some of his media availability a couple of days ago, was talking about, what this wide receiver core does for him, and it's because you have guys that can take the top off the defense.
It was so obvious.
They have so many people that they have to concern themselves with in the wide receiving core that now the tight ends can just they get even more space. It goes from maybe being like 5 yards underneath that defense. Now maybe you have 8 yards underneath that defense that you get easy. They're just giving you.
There were
maybe even up to 10
gaping holes.
Easy.
I got that
behind
audio.
The
I got that audio by the way. If you want,
all right,
to
master producer Figgy Fig, let me hear it.
Hey, dude. Like whenever you have like vertical threats, like teams drop deeper, linebackers now their hook drops are 12 yards instead of 8, like it affects everything. And when they feel that like vertical push, the guys are trying to stay on top, and when you got two burners, when you add Nico to that mix, like So three guys can stretch the field, man. So it opens up stuff underneath sometimes in certain coverages. And honestly, like, it creates space for us in the backs. And, like, I love having it because it's playing our defense is, like, hard in practice because, like, they're in your hip all the time, whether they're zone or man. It's, like, it's frustrating. And then you get to some games and it's, like, teams are just spot drop and you feel that space. You know what I mean? And so it's very beneficial for sure.
So, yeah, the tight ends are going to get theirs for sure. But, again, coming around to the makes, it's obviously this wide receiving core that, honestly, you look around the league and a lot of people that evaluate this go, that's the best wide receiving core in the NFL.
Yes, dude, what he just said there, I was talking about this after the game. I mean, it was like obvious. Like there were gaping holes behind the linebackers or with the linebackers trying to cover in front of the safeties or the cornerbacks. Like, I thought Dalton Schultz would have a reduction in production this year.
Yeah.
Hell, he might have a real big year. Might have a real big year.
And then you go back to just like, also, they do it in different types of ways. It's mm-hmm. not just burners. It's not just like route technicians. It's, they got all sorts of those things. Yeah. I still vividly, like, it's seared into my brain against the Steelers that the Tank Dell touchdown where mm-hmm. he just puts his foot in the ground. And I mean, I had the good fortune of being able to watch that with Pendergast, with Sterner, and we were all super excited hopping out of the seats. Like, they have that type of ability in all sorts of different facets. So, no, the wide receiving core is clearly that. We'd be remiss if we did not hit the easy point, which is a quarterback in C.J. Stroud that seems to have a command of the game well beyond his years.
That's what I'm saying, and that adds to the tight end discussion to me, because we all know, I mean, the elite example is Tom Brady, but it's not just him. Drew Brees would use tight ends like that. A lot of I think, obviously, in Buffalo, they use tight ends like that when you have burners. Oh, by the way, Stephon Diggs was in Buffalo. It became so obvious to me, and I'm like, man, I was looking at this all wrong. I was looking at this like it's going to be a lack of production. They might have an even bigger year. And then the other part is if you get another one, when you go two tight ends and you have Cade Stover there, I think that's going to be the top candidate. Like, everything's wide open with these guys. So you talk about make or break. That could be special what they have a tight end.
Do you have any concern that, like, too much of a good thing is a bad thing in some ways, right? Like, you have a lot of mouths to feed. And I know that Matt Schaub, who was on the broadcast
I heard him talking about
a little
this,
bit.
Yeah.
I know that the Chronicle got to sit down with him and just kind of asked him about obviously having Andre piece, but when you have that guy, does that then maybe draw you in to trying to get him the football, force him the football at times? And that's clearly something that C.J. Stroud is going to have to deal with. He said, like, obviously no, and that's some of that might just be Andre Johnson is an immaculate pro, maybe one of the best of us. But, like, you have a lot of guys that you want to try and get involved. You talked about Dalton Schultz, obviously the three-headed monster. Joe Mixon is going to get involved in there, either handing the ball off, but also throwing the ball out of the backfield. Do you have any concerns at all about trying to, like, keep everybody fed, so to say?
I think you're kind of fooling yourself if there's not a little bit. But I think also you temper that, and I always do this, who's guaranteed? I look at their contracts.
Cause if you let the payroll dictate.
Yeah, because if you're Joe Mixon, you got a contract. What the hell do you care? As long as we're winning, you want your numbers, you want to get your touches and all that stuff. But then there's Stephon playing, and I'm not saying this because he's an air quote diva or anything, but he's playing for money.
Yeah.
So he might, So
he could at times.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're talking about.
If we're being realistic here, it's the bottom line. And so I could see where Stephon, and I'm not saying there's going to be a big, I'm just saying because of his contract situation, because he's playing for another one, you got guys like Nico got paid, he's going to want his touches, but I don't think he's going to gripe too much if they're winning. What I mean? But so tell me their contracts, and I'll tell you if they're potentially going to be a problem.
And we'll talk more about this as we continue the show, but I think this is where, again, buy-in becomes a big thing.
And winning.
Right. Winning, of course, right? That's the ultimate panacea, right?
Yeah.
And winning cures all. But when it comes down to it, like, I think this is why, at least for me, it feels like it matters when all these dudes are celebrating, when anybody on the roster is doing something. When, dudes third, fourth string are doing things, and these guys seem to be excited for one another because that's hopefully something that you hope translates so that – when you do have the five-headed monster and one guy's night to go off, mm-hmm. everybody is still excited for him and not necessarily in the mindset of, okay, but when do I get mine, right?
And that speaks to the what we talked about in the very first segment today. Like, this team is so far advanced in terms of polish and maturity. I think they're equipped, you know, to kind of handle that and to understand your right type of guys, obviously the right head coach that can you know, temper anything. And then the most important part is C.J. Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud, nobody's going to say, hey, man, you know, in the moment they're going to say, I got this guy, you know, throw me the ball. But in terms of big picture stuff, they're not going to be griping to C.J. Stroud because he's going to get them the ball eventually, you know?
Yeah, and so, look, clearly having – when you have one of those quarterbacks at a high level, you already then have an opportunity being elite. You've given him the talent, the tools to play with. I think that, again, it's going to be – if you can run the football and that starts up front, and if you can make sure that interior is not allowing, like, pressure up the middle, right? What we talk about with quarterbacks like that, that's the place that they dislike the pressure the most, right? Pressure – if you're not allowing pressure up the middle, if you're making sure to keep – the quarterback protected, clearly, obviously, in this Bobby Slowick offense year two, real opportunity to have an elite year for the offense.
Absolutely. You have a great quarterback, too. Like, I'm trying to remember exactly. It was a training camp preseason video I saw. It was a bad quarterback that couldn't get a receiver a ball. And I'm like, of course he's going to complain because he's not getting the ball.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud is going to get you the ball.
He sure is.
You will get the ball.
I mean, we learned that very, very quickly with that man. All right, it's In the Loop right here, Sports Radio 610. We're live at Twin Peaks right on Katy Freeway. I-10 and Kirkwood is where it is. If you need the address to put it in, I know we talked about directions earlier. 11335 Katy Freeway.
Just a little south of I-10 West.
That's right. And we've got some giveaways that are happening out here, so you want to come out and say what's up, because there's a jersey, there's a signed ball, there's a signed football helmet, and there's some tickets.
Answer tickets.
So you want to make sure to show up and say what's up. But coming up next, time to do a little lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
It is Reginald and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Let me start with a mini confession before my actual two confessions.
Okay.
I consider myself somewhat of a worldly man.
Sure.
You know, I've lived in Houston for 35 years, and obviously, like all the culture and different people that live here, traveled the world, been a very lucky guy. I had no idea there were as many Nigerians in Houston as we are seeing since you've gotten here.
I feel like that's hard to do. Nigerians are, we roll deep here.
Dude! Like, since you've gotten here, like, I've just seen a bunch come up, text, you know, a fella just came up to you. Talking about his wife, I guess.
Yeah.
He is Nigerian.
Yeah.
One of our staff here.
Yes, sir.
Said he's Igbo.
Yes.
I'm like, I thought I knew a lot about Houston. I had no idea it was that big of a Nigerian community.
We're gonna teach you yet. We're gonna get you.
Oh, I'm in. You know I'm in.
Yeah. The food's great.
Yeah.
The parties,
now that I've partaken in.
Level.
Definitely partook in that. No doubt about it.
What?
kind of rude right there.
No, we're good. I guess my confession is I am becoming friendly with the staff here at Twin Peaks.
They're eating off your plate.
All right, so let me ask you then. Fig, I need you to be my arbiter here, right? Yeah. All right, so we just had a lovely lady that works here at Twin Peaks.
Didn't ask.
Walk over, and she did not ask, but she grabbed a couple of these mozzarella bites that are on my plate here, smiled and walked by, and I have to ask you, does that mean that,
yes, it
you
does.
Know,
yes.
It doesn't
yes,
mean it does. That we're friendly yeah, around here, yeah, or does it mean no, that I'm no, the mark? No. Am I the mark?
You're
is
the
that
mark.
What's happening?
You're the mark.
All right.
Yeah, you're the mark. Congratulations.
She didn't give you a sign, man.
I guess so.
Yes, she did.
I guess
yes,
so.
Yes, she did.
So, there you go.
Sign received.
Yeah, excellent. And I got an hour and a half until we can handle up on that.
That's right. All right, so here's my first real confession. I saw this morning, and it just got me thinking. One of our listeners, Jakara, tweeted this. She says, I don't trust people who have four favorite sports teams in four different cities.
Oh!
And she's on to something here. Here's my confession. This is what I think. Well, you know, you talk to somebody, you meet somebody at a party. You a sports fan? Which I don't know. I never asked that, but let's say it comes up.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, well, I really like, you know, I'm a big fan of the Red Sox. I love the LA Rams. You know, I'm just, you know, I do watch a little bit of hockey, and boy, Montreal's my team. And college football, come on now, Nebraska. When I hear people say, like, when I hear people say their four favorite teams are in four different cities, I don't think they're really sports fans.
Wow.
I don't think they're true sports fans. I think they've seen
What's a true sports fan then?
Like, they don't, you know, how can you live and breathe, like, just those examples? You know, Rams, the Red Sox, Montreal, and Nebraska.
I mean, oftentimes, I will say, I feel you in some ways because I'll look around and I'll be like, huh.
They're paper fans.
That's odd. But, you know, sometimes, yeah. And I think a lot of times, in fact, you'll find that there's stories there, right? Like, especially because sports fandom a lot of times has...
No, I'll give you one.
There's genetics and stuff involved in some ways.
Yeah, I'll give you one.
Because, like,
you grew up here and, yeah.
You move around or, hey, you know, my dad happened to, you know, went to this, this school or, you know, was lived out there for a while and he passed
the fandom. But that's one. I've met people like I'm a fan of this over here and this over there and maybe three, you know. But go ahead, Figgy.
I think the infamous ones is the people that's like, oh, I'm a Yankees fan, I'm a Lakers fan, and a Cowboys fan.
It's just, gee, I wonder why.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
That's only some of the three most popular teams in history.
Right.
Yeah. I don't trust those people.
Okay. I think
long
it's
story
fair,
short.
It's fair to not.
And by the way, that person stay in Ohio. It's just like,
yeah, right, yeah, exactly. And they're big Ohio State fans. Yeah, no, yeah. I feel you. Like, I can understand, like, not necessarily trusting them, but I also, look, for me personally, there's a lot of folks that I'm like, you don't have to stick with them. That team not treating you right, right?
Yeah.
And so with that, I don't know how mad I could be at someone being like, yeah, I'm going for the easy. I'm going for the one that makes me feel good,
yeah.
Right? I'm going for what makes me happy. I don't know that I can necessarily be too mad at that.
Yeah.
Especially, although, like, hey, man, you also have to recognize that at least for the period, when you were just, you know, fortunate as a sports fan, which in Houston right now, there's a lot of good fortune.
Now that one you can
sports
do.
Sports fans, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of being fortunate as a sports fan in Houston, I was watching the Astros game last night, and obviously in the top of the first, Ronel Blanco gives up three runs, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then in the bottom of the first, the Astros are like, no, that's not an issue.
They did
Let's
Astros
get some three
things.
Runs back. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, this is a different place. Again, to open this up, previously I was up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah, they didn't do that as much.
No. You know, I'm watching the Rangers a lot at that point. And the Rangers this year stink offensively. Like,
yes.
They're not very good the way that they probably should be, or at least the way they were last year.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that they had scarred me.
You were scarred.
The confession is I'm super excited.
I'm not used to this.
Excited to watch a team then go get it when they need to. And also, it's like hell on the base pass, man.
Yeah.
Altuve got on base, stole second, and stole third. And I was like, I love this so much.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of baseball.
Don't get
like,
used to Altuve being a good base runner.
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate that heads up. But yeah, man, super excited to watch a team in the Astros that I know can go get some runs. Watch this.
So I was flipping around the television stations, speaking of old school, doing that.
Yeah.
And I was on ESPN2, and I was watching. I'm like, man, what's going on here? So they were doing a fantasy draft, an ESPN fantasy draft. So you had some big names like Adam Schefter, Damian Woody, Jeff Darlington, people like that. And they were actually making their fantasy football picks. It was, they kind of made it like draft style. Mm-hmm. And I gotta confess, man. I'm not the fantasy football guy, but to me that looked kind of corny, man. Do people want to actually watch other people pick their players in fantasy football?
Unless you're in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're in a league, you might be interested.
If
like,
you're in
oh,
that
he likes
league.
Him that much, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like I don't want to sit nobody else sit and watch somebody else make their picks. Like I would do it if it was mine, but to watch it on TV and the broadcast like that, I thought it was a little too much, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'd personally be up for that. But also, like, I'm on the boundaries of fantasy sports. I'll dabble here and there. Like, I'm not completely out on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't end up being such a big thing to me. So yeah, like that would definitely not. But you know what? Like, we're finding, especially with like the democratization of the internet in ways that like there's a stream of everything. There's streams of like kids unboxing toys that other kids will watch.
Yeah.
There's an audience for it, apparently. Like, there's an audience out there somewhere for it, so more power to them folks.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'd watch either, Figgy, but I'd be interested to see if, like, Schefter has some running back as a first rounder. Because all of a sudden he would know, you know, so maybe I can use the information.
Field Yates or whatever.
Yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily.
But
like,
see, the thing is, they do have TV shows where, you know, they do break that stuff down saying.
Well, this is true.
Yeah,
this
you could get the player in this round. But this seemed like it was more of an ESPN office pool. And they just broadcasting. I'm like, man, I don't care about y'all and who y'all got on y'all. That's the worst thing you can possibly go through, man. Somebody is sitting there, oh, I got this person on my fantasy team. And I'm just like, I don't give a damn about your fantasy.
I don't care about that.
That's a tried and true truism that I believe in is nobody cares about your fantasy
team.
You care about your fantasy team. Nobody else cares
immensely.
About your fantasy team.
Stop bringing that up to me, man.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I saw this mostly this morning.
Are you cleaning off your shirt right now?
I spill food on my shirts all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Figgy, how much do I spill?
Reginald, this is an ongoing thing with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Every how much do I spill food on my
lot.
Shirt?
A
every
lot.
Day. Every day.
Unbelievable.
It's very believable.
Lopez is clumsy, man.
When I'm eating, it's a contact sport.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a contact sport. All right. So I saw this mostly today. So don't go down the political path because it wasn't about that. I just thought it was damn cool. The most boring thing you get in either party at the conventions is the roll call. The great state of Wisconsin says blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Dude, they had a playlist for every state. I downloaded it.
Really?
It was badass.
Okay.
Like forget what, you know, what it was last night, because I know that's a polarizing thing and I don't care. But they had, like, was it Lil Jon that came in for Georgia Live?
Yeah, and he performed live in doing
Turned down for what? They had everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to The Killers, Alicia Keys. They basically were picking artists from that state and playing a song as they were doing it. Eminem was for Michigan. Obviously, Beyonce was for Texas. Texas Hold'em, if you're interested. Kansas was Kansas. I like these good ideas like this that kind of make something immensely boring. Very interesting. And I downloaded the playlist. I'm going to see what it's like.
Well, good for you.
On the way home.
I'm glad you got some extra music to listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, obviously, it seems like they're picking a lot of, like,
it's everything.
The most obvious, you know.
No, but it's the spectrum of music is what I'm saying.
Sure, obviously. Look, you got to do it when you made a boring thing into a TV product.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what we've seen with the NFL draft. Like, I always call it an HR meeting, right? We're telling a whole bunch of, you know, young men that, hey, you are going to work in Houston, and you're going to work in Philadelphia, and you're going to work in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is an HR meeting, and so in order to make it interesting, we got to have, you know, all sorts of razzle-dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly with, the national convention.
Yeah.
The thing that I do like, and I think comedian Roy Wood Jr. was talking about this on Twitter, is like, you will get a whole bunch of little facts like you suspect about the state.
Oh, I love that. That's
and that is
like.
Nice, right? It's like it's the state that invented the cream corn.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Really? Okay. All right. Shout out to North
from
Dakota.
From the great state of Wisconsin. Well, I don't know why I'm saying Wisconsin all the time. You know.
Yeah, you must like Wisconsin quite a bit.
Where cheese curds is a, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, they always get stuff like that.
I realized earlier today that I really like the warm. I was about to say the hot, but I mean, I don't know anybody that just likes the pure hot.
Yeah.
Because today, when I was leaving the apartment, I was like, look, it's hot out. I'm wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and I did not do any like thinking as to we're going to be in Twin Peaks where they keep it pretty chill.
Yeah.
You know? And I've been cold all show.
Yeah, really. I actually wore jeans, and I was worried about it.
I wish that I would much rather in this moment, and tell me I'm crazy.
You want a blanket?
My confession is I'd much rather be doing the show out right now.
Well, that girl
right
might hug you. She was eating your tots.
You know? I like
that
what you're doing.
Weird.
Yeah, I was like, it definitely doesn't sound weird, but I appreciate your attempt at solving problems. Vic, you got anything else?
You got time for another one? Yeah.
Yeah, please.
So I've been holding on to this confession for a long time, man.
I'm listening.
So I want to say it was like a month and a half ago. I tweeted out, I was on my way to work, and I tweeted out that I was in an Al Green type of mode. And, you know, I was listening to Al Green in the car on the way to work. And B. Scott responded and said, "Are you okay? Everything good?"
Oh,
and I was thinking like, yeah, man, like, what's wrong with listening to Al Green? And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I know Al Green ain't the type of artist that you listen to when you're sad, they're going through something. So I got to confess, I kind of feel a little, I don't know how to feel, man, because I listen to Al Green probably like 5 times a week, man. Like, something Al Green always listens
to. The Reverend.
To. But yeah, but he made me feel like I feel like
you're in a place.
Yeah, like maybe I'm this emotional guy now.
No, ain't nothing wrong. Like, I mean, I don't even get it.
Al Green got some slaps, man. Where you 100%. Can actually dance to, man.
100%.
I don't go to Al Green when I'm feeling sad.
Yeah, what's funny for me is that I end up in that place a lot. How just because I'm not, or I'm less of, because I don't want to act like I'm some super special person, but I'm less of somebody who listens to music based on mood. Like, quite literally, how I listen to music is I'll go in my music streaming app, and I hit shuffle on my entire
whatever
library.
Whatever comes up comes up.
And so, if it's a sad song, but I'm happy, no problem. That's not really something that's an issue for me. And so, there will be times that I'll be listening to something, they'll be like, are you good? And like, yeah, it's fine. So, I don't know if Fig, if that played into it for you as well. Is it just like, even if it is maybe, quote-unquote, a sad song, it does not matter for your emotions, you're just here for the jam?
It do not matter, man. My playlist, if I show y'all my playlist, it's completely random, man. I would go from Al Green to 3-6 Mafia to Lynyrd Skynyrd to Anita Baker. So my playlist is all over the place. But I was like, man, I never looked at Al Green as the sad artist.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's fair, because I honestly hadn't thought of Al Green as a sad artist. I'm going to have to go and examine that as well. But again, I don't really think of music in that way.
I was just looking at Spotify. Like, I don't get it. That one I just don't get.
Yeah, when I think of sad art, I think of Adele. I feel like Adele
is for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
just like, nah, that would put my mood down a little bit.
She makes
sad.
You want to sleep in a closet.
But a beautiful voice. Just
gorgeous.
Incredible.
She the music you play at the funeral.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 I had not. Okay.
Make you want to cry, man. Every time I listen to you want to cry. But that kind of bothered me a little bit, man.
I like how you're just so offended for the Reverend Al Green.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Shout out to B. Scott. Making a little bit of a roundabout way into the In the Loop, as always. There you go. Lunchtime Confessions In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're still hanging out here at Twin Peaks right on I-10 and Kirkwood. Still got some giveaways going.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Let me see if I can rattle these off one more again. Will Anderson, H-Town Edition jersey.
Correct.
Jalen Petrie signed football.
Yes, sir.
Christian Harris signed helmet.
Yes, sir.
And some tickets.
Got
to Saturday.
So I got some good tickets for Saturday.
So, look, man, you want to come out, have some great food, enjoy the eats, drinks, and scenic views.
Mm-hmm.
Say what's up. Definitely say what's up to me, because, I mean, we got a lot of people here, but I'm not going to lie. I felt a little ugly stepchild in this one because we've only had a couple people come up and actually say hi. Now, yeah. People are probably, you know, getting their food and getting back to what they got to get to.
I think they're intimidated by you.
Nah. There's no way. There's no way. So, yeah, come out, say what's up, and then make sure to get signed up for these giveaways that we're having here. Coming up next, do you want to start or sit a rookie quarterback? Tom Brady has thoughts on the matter. Let's talk about that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Twin Peaks off I-10 in Kirkwood. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
You damn Skippy, it's In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday in the greater Houston area. Thanks for hanging out with us, and thanks for listening however you're listening, wherever you're listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Tom Brady, who is now a broadcaster, but largely believed the greatest quarterback in NFL history, he weighed in. He joined Stephen A. Smith on the Stephen A. Smith Show, the podcast that he's doing or what have you.
Yeah.
I guess the YouTube show that Stephen A. is doing. And they talked about all sorts of things. It was at the Fanatics Fest that happened this past weekend. And they did this as a live show. And it was packed. It looked like
It looked pretty cool.
The bigger rooms that they had out there. But yeah. Amongst all sorts of other things, one of the things that he weighed into was kind of this long-standing thought, or question rather, when you have a rookie quarterback, do you start them or do you sit them? Or, like, which is the better to go with, right?
Yeah.
Putting them, setting them and throwing them into the fire immediately, or letting them sit behind a veteran, learn some things before you get out there. And so Tom Brady, this was how he kind of talked about that particular dilemma.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at.
A tragedy, John Lopez. You agree with Tom Brady?
I get his point 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, he's a football genius. Here's where it gets interesting for me. Because what he said was obviously accurate. You used to have pro-style offenses. You used to, you have this development under the center, drop back pass,
yep.
All that good stuff. And you would absolutely need development. I mean, without doubt. Now, no matter what program you came from, and he just talked about it, he came from Michigan after 5 years and still needed that development. Here's where it gets dicey for me. Like, he said, like, coaches just have dumbed down the offenses. Well, they've dumbed them down because it works. Because it's a different game now. It's not, it's more of the wide open, put some pressure on the receivers to read the coverages and make their things and know where the ball's going to be, make their reads and know where the ball's going to be. So while he's right, it's not as complex an offense. The quarterback maybe doesn't have, I mean, they have options, you know, go here first, go there second.
There's still a lot to be done.
They're not like calling the game at the line of scrimmage like old school stuff. But the reason they're not is because that's where offenses have gone this year, and it works.
Yeah,
you score more points, you know.
Right, and I think that also there's a lot of situations where, depending on how you feel about a subject, you can frame the same thing and make it sound negative or make it sound positive.
Yes.
Right, you can call it dumbing down the offense, or you can call it simplifying the offense. And I think that there is something to be said for things being simplified in the NFL in particular. And I would kind of honestly quibble or with the idea that this filtered down because the NFL was like, hey, we don't have the people that are capable of doing it. I think in some ways it's kind of filtered up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
We saw that
with
Art Briles also. And, I mean, persona non grata, but like when you talk about like the actual football acumen, you saw him go from high the concepts he was doing at high school to now then being copied in college. And then when the NFL looks around and says, that's an advancement in the game, they bring that up as well. And so I think that that is somewhat that portion of it. But when it comes back to like whether you start or not, I do think that he has a point, and he is right, that there is less development. That
there's no question.
There used to be so much more development. Yeah. And the reasons why is where it gets interesting, because some of this is the players have kind of negotiated out some of the opportunities for development for good reason, right? Yeah. In order to develop, you had to beat these players into the ground with so much practice and drills and all these things in order to get that level of development. So much of that has now been placed on the players' plates to go and you have to handle this at home. This is your homework. You make sure you make yourself a better player on your own time. And when you come in here, now we're worried about putting in the offense and putting in the defense and putting in like the scheme. But the actual development is now incumbent upon you. And you've seen that also in the college level as winning becomes even more of a priority as opposed to development for the NFL.
I also think there's a very practical element here that has become much more important than back in the old days. The practical element now is, let's say you draft a quarterback in the second round. Not the first round, because that's a five-year rookie deal. Second round. So you got 4 years to find out, right?
Yes.
You're going to sit him for two? The practical element is you can't really do that anymore. Because if you sit a guy developing for 2 years, and then you get into the third year of his rookie deal, and he has a decent year, then you get into the fourth year of his rookie deal, and you're like, I don't know.
Especially when you have the juxtaposition.
You're like, I don't know.
You have the juxtaposition of quarterback is commanding more and more of the percentage of the salary cap when you're paying them after the rookie deal. And thanks to Sam Bradford, the rookie deal is now a lot more manageable compared to that big money. So these are the years we've honestly seen some teams lean fully into the idea that the way to try and go for a championship is to have a rookie on a quarterback on a rookie deal and then use that money elsewhere to make the rest of the team better. And so I lean towards you start that player if they're capable of playing, right? If it's not that guy's not capable of getting out there, right? Because if that guy's not capable of getting out there, putting him out there is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. But if that guy is capable of getting out there, maybe, there's a little bit more refining. You play him because of the monetary aspect that you're talking about as well. And also, I understand what he's talking about, but I also don't know that we are guaranteeing that sitting a quarterback definitely makes them better. Right. I think Tom Brady would have been a great quarterback if he had started because, as he's talking about, he had a lot of development in Michigan. He already was ready for that in some ways as well.
The times change, man. We all know that. And even from the Tom Brady era, and he gets it. Obviously, he's not been out of the league very long. But, like, if I'm an owner and I'm a coach and I got a rookie quarterback that I think is going to be really good and the clock is ticking and we still don't know for sure if he's good,
right?
That's a problem because either you're going to have a Daniel Jones situation, where you're paying this dude $160 million and you still don't know if he's good, or he might be great, but then you don't have any money to pay anybody else.
Yeah.
So if they're at all just showing hints of grasping the offense and being able to contribute, then you play them.
And look, on the text line, and again, that number to get involved, 713-572-4610. From the 713, he said they're actually going so far against Tom Brady here by saying this generation is actually more prepared than Brady's generation, because you're getting kids, and this is something that this leads into a whole nother conversation, the specialization at young ages. Like, kids aren't playing all different sports. You're finding them at 7 years old, like, I'm playing quarterback, I'm playing football, and they have private coaches, and they're playing 7-on-7, and they're playing year-round. There's actually a lot of opportunities for development. It ends up being fun, because a funny word, because sometimes these guys are just kind of going and playing.
I think it's technique.
AAU-fication of it. But at least they're getting a lot more experience than I think at any time in the past.
No. I think they are, and it's been proven that the quarterbacks that have done the 7-on-7s from middle school on or whatever, if you get the right coaching, you're gonna probably have better mechanics, better footwork, be a little more comfortable throwing the ball, and all that. That still doesn't get you ready an NFL or even a college, you know, a college system. But the systems have been simplified, and I'll go back to how this whole conversation started, because they're successful.
Yeah.
Ain't no coach going to change the way they do things in the NFL if it's not successful.
Right.
You know, the Mike Leach influence, the you know, all these influences from West Coast offense, if you want to go back to that, and all that. Hell, there's some run and shoot elements out there now, you know, in some teams. You think they'd be doing that and simplifying things if it didn't work? No, it works. So that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, and so the tough thing about it is that I think ESPN put out a piece talking about the same thing when you talk about Bryce Young and, you know, C.J. Stroud obviously ends up being the other side of the, hey, you sit him. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, we can find success stories that started immediately and we can find, you know, failures that started immediately. And I think likewise, we can find success stories that waited to be started, and we could probably find failures of quarterbacks that were, you know, sat behind. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately a good quarterback is something that is, one, the base talent, and then two, I think also the surroundings of them. What you have around them is going to dictate how successful they are a lot more than we like to give credit.
You got me
sometimes.
Thinking a little bit here. What was the last quarterback that sat for a couple of years and was successful? I know Mahomes sat a year.
Jordan Love,
sat
who we're
a year. Was it more than a year? I thought it was just a year. Jordan Love, maybe
Jordan
more.
Jordan Love had a couple
of years.
He ended up in that place that you're talking about, where he was about to start in his third season, and we were like, oh, we got to figure out if he's good, because you have to start deciding what the money looks like.
That's why you have to find out on these guys so soon. It's just a different world, man. It's a different world than Tom Brady grew up in the NFL. So I'm all for it because. All of a sudden, you're going to have. I think we have a good quarterback. Oh crap! We got to pay everybody else now.
Right.
And him.
And thankfully, the Texans are in this place where they went with the stardom immediately, and it paid off. I mean, it paid off incredibly because we talked about them turning this thing around, and part of that is because you saw immediately that C.J. Stroud can do this at an incredible level. So I disagree with a Hall of Famer, and I do that kind of begrudgingly because
it is Tom Brady, but I do too.
Yeah, there you go. We're in the loop here, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, final hour of the show starts. We still got some giveaways, so if you're out there wondering, hey, can I still get in there? Yes, you can get in here. Get your name in the raffle before we call it quits at 2 p.m. and hand over to the drive. But coming up next, are we guzzling too much of the red Kool-Aid when it comes to these Texans, or are we all good? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.